He seemed like a nice, honest guy not looking to lead anyone on. He parked the quad next to his Jeep, and Mary could see Sally and Tara watching them through the window of her house. She climbed off the quad and brushed her hair out of her face, wincing as she felt the flyaway strands everywhere. Wow, the wind really did a number on my hair.
You can call it quad chic. Start a new trend.
Mary laughed. I'll give that a try and let you know if it works. Thank you.
It's not a problem.
He dismounted and took the keys out of the quad.
I'll make sure you get your 80 trees, and if anything changes, you know where to find me. I'm going to go collect my son from your mom and start dinner.
I bet he misses you when you're at work.
It's better than it was. At least now we have a routine down.
Clark nodded behind her, and she turned as Sally and Tara ducked.
You have fun with your friends.
Thanks. Have a good night, Clark.
You too, Mary.
She turned, self-consciously wondering if he was watching her walk away, but didn't want to get caught checking. When she opened her front door and looked back, he was nowhere to be seen. Tara popped into the doorway with a glass of wine and wide blue eyes. Holy hell, you did not tell us you had a thing going with the sexy foreman. I don't. Mary pushed her way into the house and closed the door. It was work. Oh, it looked like work, straddling his backside like that. Tell me the truth, Tara said, wiggling her dark brows. Does he have abs under that workman's jacket? Mary rolled her eyes at Sally, who was unloading takeout containers onto the counter. What is wrong with her?
She got dumped.
Mary spun around to face Tara, who was glaring at Sally. What happened? You two were all hot and heavy last week. Tara's blue eyes blinked rapidly, and Mary knew from years of heartbreak her friend was trying to keep it together and not cry. He said we had sexual chemistry, but not lasting chemistry.
Douchebag,
Sally sang. Oh, honey. Mary held out her arms and the taller woman fell into them, her brown hair tickling Mary's cheek. Forget him. We'll make a voodoo doll and stick pins right in his favorite area. Tara choked out a wet laugh. Forget the doll. Just give me a voodoo peen. It will look like a pincushion by the time I get my feelings out.
Tell her what he said about your boobs.
Mary glanced over her shoulder at Sally with a grimace.
What did he say about her boobs?
They were saggy.
Tara sniffled. Mary hugged her tighter.
What the fuck?
Asshole.
Sally dragged out the word this time, hitting a deep note on the hole. Do you actually think your boobs are saggy? Mary asked. Tara pulled away, wiping at her wet cheeks and eyes.
No, but I don't understand why he had to go there.
I believe I've explained the why in two different terms. He's a... Come on, Sally.
Mary cut in, pulling Tara to the couch to sit. Honestly, Tara, did you really like him?
I don't know. He could be fun.
Outside the bedroom. Mary held up a hand, waving it back and forth. Wait, time out. Are you telling me he sucked in bed? Tara nodded. Sally carried three shot glasses and a bottle of Fireball up the steps and sat across from them.
Hold on. You've been crying all day over trash D?
Tara giggled and Mary's lips twitched as she joined in on the razzing.
Nah, those aren't sad tears. Those are the tears of a grateful woman who knows she never has to endure his minute man antics again.
Tara laughed harder, whiskey drops flying over the full shot glass Sally handed her.
Whoa, don't spill that on my carpet. If I drag that up to my parents, my mother will start asking me why my rug smells like a distillery. Tell her to mind her business.
Sally held her shot up in toast and Mary clinked her glass to hers.
I'm not saying that to my mother, and I know you don't say it to your mother either.
Sally chuckled.
Maybe not. But I'd love to see your mother's expression right before she murders you.
All right, let's do this toast so we can eat something. Besides, Mary's arm was starting to ache from holding up the shot glass.
The last thing we need is getting hammered on an empty stomach. To good friends, new experiences, and no more trash D, Sally said.
Tara tapped her glass and knocked it back, wheezing.
He really was the worst. But I thought he was sweet.
That's how they get you. Sally gathered up the shot glasses. They all come at you with the good guy routine until they hook you.
Uh-oh, Mary said, climbing to her feet to help with the food. Did Pike do something?
Nope. He's a good egg. I'm speaking in general. Men are shifty creatures.
Tara hopped off the couch and grabbed the bottle of Fireball.
I agree. I'm going on a guy-atus. That's a guy hiatus, for anyone confused.
Tara filled up the shot glasses again, while Mary grabbed her container of enchiladas and rice and beans.
I did that this year, and it was liberating.
I finally feel prepared to get back into the dating pool. Sally sat across from her on the sofa with her feet tucked up under her. Green eyes on Mary as she took a bite of her taco before mumbling,
And you've set your sights on your neighbor?
No. He isn't ready to date. And I am done with people who aren't looking for the whole shebang.
Still, you know what they say about the quiet ones.
Tara called from the kitchen. Instead of bringing the shots in to share, she took all three in succession.
They're all about control in the bedroom. Anyone want another shot?
Mary nodded absently. An image of Clark, naked, lounging in her bed, rippled through her mind. What she imagined he looked like, anyway. Tara set the shots on the side table and went back for her food. Sally leaned close, whispering,
It's gonna be a long night.
Chapter 7 Clark sat down next to Jace at the Winters' dinner table the following night, keeping his head down while Chris Winters said grace, his right hand held by his son. The family had lengthened the table, so Chris and Victoria sat on the ends, while Holly, Nick, and Noel were situated across from Clark, Jace, and Mary. Her soft hand fitted into his. Clark's knee bounced under the table, checking the clock again. It was 6:10, and in just over 2 hours, he'd be sitting down with Naughty Girl 25 over drinks. Amen. Everyone released hands, and he sat back, running his hands over his thighs to calm the motion. He didn't want to give the Winters the impression their invitation to family dinner wasn't appreciated. Erica, his babysitter, wouldn't be there until 8, and if he'd skipped dinner to stay home, he'd probably be pacing the living room and changing his shirt again. He'd sweated his way through a t-shirt and polo already, and he needed to remember to reapply deodorant before he walked out the door. He turned his head to discreetly sniff, right as Mary reached to pick up the breadbasket. Her wavy blonde hair fell forward, obscuring the upturned nose and Cupid's bow mouth. He pretended to crack his neck so she wouldn't realize what he'd been about to do. She was another complication he hadn't seen coming. Although he was eager to meet Naughty Girl 25, Mary had occupied a number of his thoughts last night, and he found himself analyzing everything she'd said to him. He repeatedly told himself it was a bad idea to get involved with her for a number of reasons. But a tiny voice at the back of his mind kept whispering, What if it works out, though? After taking a roll, she tucked her hair back and held the basket out to him with a smile. Want? Clark's gaze dropped to her lips. What? Do you want a roll? Yes, yeah, of course. Thanks. Clark took one for himself and set another on Jace's plate before passing it along to Chris, his face burning. The ease he'd experienced in her presence yesterday was replaced by a jumpiness reminiscent of the teenaged boy he used to be. It could also be his date tonight already had him on edge, but he didn't think so. Something changed after their chat, and Clark didn't like it. He wanted to go back to thinking she was a nice girl who lived down the way, instead of the funny, sexy woman who smelled like Christmas cookies. How's planning going for the festival, Mary? Chris asked. Great. 66 businesses in Mistletoe have put down a deposit for trees. My goal is 80, and I still have a few weeks. I'll get there. I knew I suggested the right woman for the job, Victoria murmured, winking at Mary, who snorted.
Yeah, thanks for that. No more volunteering me for things this year, please. I'm up to my eyeballs in responsibility.
Nick snapped his fingers.
Damn! I was hoping to convince you to help me deliver pre-made meals for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Me?
Mary squeaked.
Well, all of you. I agreed to help out, but we had a lot more people sign up than we were expecting. And I need more drivers to help out.
Clark held up his hand. I'd be happy to help. Nick shot him a grateful smile.
Thanks, man. When do they need to be delivered?
Holly asked.
Day before by 8 p.m.?
Holly nodded.
I can close the shop a few hours early. Where do I need to pick them up from?
Mistletoe Reformed Church. I'll put your name and arrival time on the volunteer sheet.
Might as well make it a family affair,
Chris said.
How many meals are going out?
The last count was 75,
Noel answered.
But the number's going up,
Nick chuckled.
I guess people don't want to cook this year.
Mary grabbed the potatoes from the center and dropped a spoonful on her plate with a clack, drawing everyone's attention.
I'm in too, if you still need people.
Thanks, sis. I knew I could count on you all to help out.
And Clark.
Nick held his beer bottle up in a toast.
Glad to have you here.
If anything, you're keeping this workaholic,
Nick nudged his dad with his arm,
from driving the rest of us nuts.
Clark tipped his water glass in response. Happy to help.
It's been a blessing having Clark and Jace,
Victoria gushed, reaching out to ruffle his son's hair.
He helps me bake and is becoming quite the chess player. When you get finished wiping the floor with my mom, Jace, come find me. I'm the chess champion in the house,
Mary bragged. Chris cleared his throat, and Mary grumbled.
Only because my dad doesn't play anymore.
Although I may come out of retirement for the right player.
Chris winked at Jace from the end of the table, and Jace grinned. Clark took the potatoes from Mary and put a small scoop on Jace's plate.
Dad!
Clark raised a brow at his son's wine, delivering a silent warning. They'd had a long discussion before coming over for dinner that Jace had to try a bite of everything to be polite. Even au gratin potatoes. Jace stabbed a fork at the white ovals smothered in orange cheese sauce without another word. Mary leaned closer to Clark, her hair brushing the skin of his arm as she addressed Jace.
You don't like potatoes?
Jace looked at Clark before answering her.
Not really, but I have to try it. Do you like ketchup?
Jace perked up.
Yeah? You want to try some on those bad boys? Sure.
Mary hopped up from the table and went to the fridge. Clark ignored the warm glow in his chest at the kind gesture. All of the Winters seemed to be inherently good with kids, even if Mary swore she didn't have much experience. Mary came back to the table, handing Jace the bottle.
There you go, Jace. Thank you.
Jace popped the lid open and squeezed a mound on top of the dollop of potatoes. Clark checked on Victoria to make sure she wasn't offended, but she simply smiled at Jace as he took a large bite of ketchup-infused potatoes.
This is really good,
Jace announced. Mary grinned, holding up a bite of her own reddened potatoes.
I'm glad.
Clark turned to Mary, who was also watching Jace take another bite. Thanks for that. We are working on eating at other people's houses. It's not a normal thing for us. Her hazel eyes locked with his, her mouth twitching.
It's no trouble. I was a picky eater, and these potatoes aren't my favorite.
They're mine, though,
Nick said, taking a massive bite.
We know, golden boy,
Mary shot back.
You say that like it's a bad thing. Lord love a duck, you two are going to drive me to drink,
Victoria muttered.
I've got the ticket for that.
Holly jumped up from her seat and went to the kitchen, coming back into the room with a wine bottle in each hand.
Red or white? Because I brought both.
Clark smothered a laugh with his napkin as Victoria looked up to the ceiling.
I know you never send us more than we can handle, but you might have miscalculated. Rude!
Holly set one bottle on the island and opened the other with the corkscrew.
Just for that? I'm not sharing my wine with you. Noelle, would you please wrestle that bottle of red from my daughter and pour me some?
Noelle got up from the table with a smirk.
I'm on it.
Holly handed Noelle the bottle with an eye roll.
Suck up. Can you guys stop goofing off?
Jace hollered.
I'm trying to enjoy my potatoes.
The adults laughed and went back to eating, the conversation turning to more serious topics, like the upcoming tree harvest and how Holly's shop was doing. When the meal finished, Clark took his and Jace's plate into the kitchen, coming up alongside Victoria. I can wash if you want to go sit down. Chris stepped up, elbowing his wife out of the way.
Both of you, get out of here. Dishes are my domain. Holly, get in here and help your old dad.
I'm coming.
Victoria patted Clark on the back, leading him into the living room.
Best let the dishmaster do his work. Come sit with us.
Clark found himself on the couch next to Mary, who had her feet tucked up under her.
Mrs. Winters, can we play chess now?
Jace asked.
Absolutely. You know where it is.
Jace took off down the hallway with Butch trotting along behind him.
Your son is so good with Butch.
Victoria lowered her voice and whispered.
Jace has mentioned once or twice that he wants a puppy.
Clark shook his head. I'm sorry he brought that up. I already told him maybe when we get our own place.
Nonsense! The man in the cottage before you had two big labs through the course of his employment, and I think it would be good for Jace to have a pal.
Victoria seemed to realize she may have overstepped, and added,
I mean, of course it is ultimately your decision, but if you want to get a dog, we have no issue with it.
Thank you, Victoria, Clark said quietly. Jace came running back in with the game clacking in his hands. He sat down on the other side of the coffee table across from Victoria, and the two of them chatted as he set up the board. Clark checked the clock on the wall. It was almost 7, so he still had 45 minutes. He looked over at Mary, who was watching her mother and Jace, a bemused smile on her face. You look nice, he said softly. She whipped his way, her cheeks burnished pink.
Thank you. I'm going out with a friend after dinner. What friend?
Victoria asked, peering at her daughter over Jace's head.
Hey, concentrate on your game. This is an A and B conversation, so see your way out of it. Jace, do you see how she talks to her mother?
His son turned and shot Mary a disapproving look.
You should be nice to Mrs. Winters. I wish I had a mom like her.
The room fell silent. Clark's chest twitched up in knots at Jace's admission. It had been just the two of them for so long, and it wasn't until recently Jace started asking questions about his mom. Clark told him Patrice wasn't ready to be a mom, but she'd done the best thing she could do for him, and that was letting Clark raise him. He didn't know what else he could say. But Jace had simply shrugged and moved on to a new topic. So Clark thought it wasn't a big deal. He'd always been afraid that as he got older, Clark might not be enough for him, that he might crave that maternal bond he was missing.
That was a wonderful thing to say, Jace. Thank you.
Victoria murmured, her eyes shimmering. Mary leaned over and tapped Jace on the shoulder.
I wasn't being mean, I promise. Remember when I talked about teasing your dad when you got a little older? That's what my mom and I do. I love her very much, and we like to play. My dad and I pretend we're pirates when we cook dinner. He's the captain, and I'm his first mate.
Clark coughed when Victoria and Mary sent him amused looks.
That sounds like a blast,
Mary said.
Our parents raised us to believe that the more families played with each other, the more love there is between them. Then my dad loves me a lot.
The adults laughed.
I'm sure he does.
Mary leaned over his shoulder and spoke in a stage whisper.
Now, get your game face on. I want to see you kick my mom's butt so I can take you on next time.
Forget it. I am the chess master,
Victoria crowed.
Nuh-uh,
Jace said. Mary climbed to her feet.
I'll be right back to watch. I'm going to grab something from my car. Speaking of your car, I need you to go to the grocery store for me tomorrow. I knew there had to be another reason you wanted me living so close.
Mary crossed her arms over her chest, shooting her mother a scowl.
It couldn't just be because you loved me and missed having me around. Of course I missed you. Doing my grocery shopping. Nice, Mom.
Victoria let out a wicked laugh, and Chris turned from the sink with a grin.
Why is my wife doing her witch laugh?
Excuse me? I do not sound like a witch. You kinda do, Mom,
Holly said. Victoria pointed a finger at her.
Watch it, my pretty, or I'll put a spell on you.
Do you need help? Clark asked Mary, surprising himself. Mary's smile still had a crazy effect on his heartbeat.
Sure, that would be great. I bought an espresso machine, but it's too big for my counter space, so I figured I'd bring it up here. And it's heavy. Oh, an espresso machine,
Victoria chimed in.
I've always wanted one of those. But your father says we don't need it.
Mary sent her mother an arch look.
Well, it's a good thing your daughter didn't want to drive all the way back to Twin Falls to return this one. Just remember who paid for it. Rude,
her mother said.
You should remember who kept you alive for 18 years. And while I appreciate you doing so, I know how you like to commandeer things. The way you commandeered my favorite boots when you were in high school and then ruined them? See? Like mother, like daughter.
Mary grabbed the doorknob and pulled it open, grinning at Clark.
Let's skedaddle before she remembers everything else I borrowed.
Lead the way, Clark said, following her out the front door. They stepped onto the porch, the brisk air smacking him in the face. Even though the Christmas lights blinked around them, casting colorful flashes of light across the yard. The lack of moonlight created a deeper darkness beyond the giant blow-up Santa waving in the middle of the front lawn.
Whew, it got cold out here.
Winter is coming. Mary shot him a smirk.
Game of Thrones fan?
Yes, until the last season. That ending was weak. Mary covered her ears with a squeal.
I'm only on season 4. Do not tell me.
How have you avoided spoilers?
I stay off Reddit and ignore all things GOT.
What's taking you so long to catch up?
I binge it for a bit, but then it becomes so exhausting. I have to take a break.
Clark winced. I can't believe you said that.
What?
You're talking about one of the most epic shows of our time. Her noncommittal shrug sent all the air from his lungs, and he started sputtering. The heartless woman thumped him on the back with a laugh.
You all right there, Sparky?
Clark caught his breath with a wheeze. You may have traumatized me.
You've definitely become more dramatic.
Only when it comes to my fandoms.
I do apologize for insulting such an epic show and giving you a coughing fit.
It's fine. I was surprised. Ah! Clark knew what was happening the minute the bottom of his boot hit the ice. Both feet scissor-kicked out from under him, his arms circling in the air. I must look like a goose taking flight. The wind whooshed around his ears for several seconds before the impact of landing on his back knocked all oxygen from his lungs. Still less painful than her belittling Game of Thrones, Mary's face filled his vision, flashes of green and red lighting up her knitted brow.
Are you all right, Clark?
Missed the ice. Mary grinned.
Really? Seems like you hit it dead on. 10 out of 10 for the fall, BTW.
Shouldn't you be checking for a concussion instead of busting my chops?
Sure.
She held up her fingers.
Count 'em.
3.
What's my name?
Mary.
Where are you?
Currently on my back in the winter's front yard. Mary reached down and grabbed his hand.
I think you're good.
Clark gripped her warm palm in his and got to his feet, his back and ass throbbing. Thanks for the lift.
You're welcome.
She released his hand, frowning down at the cement.
It's weird that there's any ice. Dad's usually good about salting the walkway.
Probably some of the snow from the lawn melted onto the cement and refroze.
And you found the only patch on the whole stretch. I gotta say, I'm impressed.
At my gracefulness?
No, that you didn't use falling as an opportunity to give me a cheesy line like, "Looks like I fell for you."
Clark winced. Guys really do that?
Oh, yeah.
Corny, insincere. Suddenly her eyes widened.
Not that I think you're interested in me or that you're a jerk or... Shit, I didn't mean to say that or even allude to that. I was being incredibly presumptuous and I'm so sorry. I'm such an idiot sometimes.
You're not an idiot, Mary.
If you say so. But between yesterday and tonight, I'm really not sure.
What happened yesterday?
Telling you I had a crush on you back in high school? I feel like I made you uncomfortable.
No, you didn't, he blurted.
I didn't?
Clark ran a hand through his hair. All the reasons he'd had not to be honest eluding him with her standing so close. I almost asked you out.
When?
That day we worked together.
Why didn't you?
Because you got into a truck with another guy. Figured I didn't stand a chance.
I see.
She opened up her car door without saying anything else, and Clark shuffled his feet, wondering what was going on inside her head. He looked away when she bent over and pulled the lever to the trunk. He did not want her catching him staring at her ass. When she straightened up, she shut the door with a shrug.
Machine's in the trunk.
As he rounded the back of the car, she came up alongside him, her shoulder brushing his.
It's funny, isn't it? We liked each other at the same time, but still missed our chance to do something about it.
Clark reached into the trunk for the machine, his heart pounding. What was she getting at?
Maybe nothing happened then because we were supposed to end up back on the farm. Together.
Clark hit his head on the trunk and lost his grip on the espresso machine box, rubbing his already sore head with one hand. Shit.
Are you okay?
Yeah, just a complete klutz tonight. He went back into the trunk for the machine box, wishing she wouldn't stand so close. Her Christmas cookie scent invaded the area around him, making his mouth water, and he didn't even like them. Too much frosting. It took a minute to get a grip on the box because his hands were seeped in sweat, but finally he hefted it into his arms.
Thanks for the help.
It's no problem.
Why didn't you say anything yesterday when I told you I'd liked you?
I didn't want you to get the wrong idea.
Which is?
Clark's brain sputtered like an old junker engine as he collected his thoughts. What was the wrong idea? He was attracted to Mary, and the more he got to know her, the harder it was to come up with viable reasons why they wouldn't be good together. God, someone save me from the ninth circle of hell I'm in. The roar of an engine broke the awkward silence, and they turned in unison as a monster of a motorcycle pulled into the Winters' driveway. The rider turned off the bike and swung a leg over before removing his helmet. Clark's older brother Sam grinned at him.
Hey, bro.
I'm home.
Son of a bitch. That is not what I meant.
Chapter 8. Mary sat on her mother's couch across from her sister Sunday afternoon, looping her crochet hook through the project in her lap. Holly hadn't stopped talking about Clark's brother showing up for the last 15 minutes, and Mary wished she'd find a new topic. Between her embarrassing scene with Clark before his brother's timely rescue and Woodsman canceling their date last minute, she did not want to talk about men on an empty stomach.
I don't care that he's 10 years older. Sam Griffin is fine.
Holly crowed from her perch on the love seat, twisting a red curl around her finger. Mary shook her head with a smirk.
Since when are you into bad boys?
Hey, just because he drives a motorcycle and has tattoos doesn't make him bad. He could be a cinnamon roll.
ooey, gooey, squishy, and sweet. Loves puppies and kittens.
I think I'm going to get a dog, Mary said, trying to change the subject, but her sister was determined to streamline the topic.
If Sam were a dog, he'd be a Doberman, all sleek and protective.
Mary rolled her eyes. She couldn't say much about Sam, because their meeting had been relatively brief. Clark carried in the espresso machine and collected Jace within a matter of minutes, whisking his brother and son down the hill to the cottage. Mary should have been grateful for the interruption, as it saved her from further embarrassment. The real shock had been Clark's admission he'd liked her too. It was painfully obvious he didn't feel that way about her now, and she wanted to kick herself for the fumbling attempt at suggesting there might be something between them. On top of all of that, there was also the matter of Jace. She'd never dated anyone with a child before, and it came with its own complications.
Wow, she was really getting ahead of herself. Clark hadn't shown her a shred of interest, so all of the runaway thoughts rushing through her head were unnecessary.
And then the message she'd received from Woodsman. Hey, naughty girl 25. I have a family emergency and need to cancel. I am so sorry to do this last minute, but I hope you'll give me another chance to make it up to you. Yours, Woodsman 27.
A family emergency could be anything from, I got cold feet about meeting you because I'm married, to, I've lied to you about everything, even the snowmen I supposedly made. The tiny voice in her head chided her that he could be telling the truth, but her track record with men outweighed her benefit of the doubt.
Whoa, where did you go off to? Holly asked, waving her hands in the air.
Mary shook off the dreary thoughts with a shrug.
Nowhere. Just thinking I want a cinnamon roll now. No argument here. Oh, speaking of things you want, it's still a no-go with Declan. He is adamant he doesn't need to order a tree. I even offered to decorate it for him.
Damn. I really wanted to end up with at least 70 trees, and he was the crown jewel on making this year's festival a success.
Holly held up her hand. Fear not, dear sister. I have one last card to play before I fold.
What the heck was that? Practicing my stage voice? I convinced the Mistletoe Theater troupe to donate a tree by agreeing to be their on-call understudy for the year.
What the heck is that? If they have a last-minute dropout before performances start, I fill in.
Why you?
I'm assuming it has to do with my following on Instagram and YouTube. And I am quite the actress. You are a daredevil elf on social media, not Julia Roberts.
Just you wait, Sister Mary. Just you wait.
Stop butchering my fair lady, Holly sniffed. I thought I nailed it. I also called in favors at the Pipe Doctors, Light Bright Electrical and Games and Gadgets, that new nerd store on Fifth. That puts us at 70 trees. Mary dropped the project in her hands and tackle hugged her sister, falling on top of her with a squeal.
How did you do it?
I own a holiday store where they can get ornaments at cost, and I offered to decorate for them, with a nominal fee attached.
Mary hugged her again.
You are awesome. Mary stood up and, after going back to her seat, added, but I still want Declan.
Oh, you can have Declan. He's a poop.
Not like that. I still want you to work on him.
Holly cracked her knuckles with an evil smirk.
I'll work him over, free of charge. I'm sure there's a metal pipe laying around that store of his.
You're terrible.
Yes, but only because it's him.
Holly whipped out her phone and tapped away at the screen.
By the way, what you making there?
Mary held up the project she was working on with a grin. A present for Tara. She got dumped by that mechanic, and I thought the perfect voodoo doll would make her smile. Holly burst out laughing at the pink plush penis with X's for eyes.
A voodoo peen? That's what Tara called it.
But I think we can do better. I need to go to the craft store and get some stuffing for him, and I was going to add a red button for a mouth. What do you think?
That mom's going to have a fit when she sees it?
I'm not letting her see it until I put the pins in. Besides, mom isn't as sweet and innocent as she pretends to be.
Holly arched an eyebrow.
Do you know something I don't?
Nope, just a feeling I have. Plus, she keeps threatening to tell us where we were conceived.
Holly groaned. Please don't bring that up.
I am still recovering from the confirmation that our parents are sexual beings.
Okay, new topic.
Have you checked her hoarder closet?
Holly asked.
For what? Stuffing for your peen.
Why would Mom have stuffing in there?
What part of hoarder closet do you not understand?
Holly hopped up from the couch and disappeared down the hall. Mary set her project down and followed behind. Holly opened the hall closet, and Mary marveled at the collection inside.
Holy crap.
I think Mom needs an intervention.
Don't even think about it. This thing is a lifesaver when I get invited to a last-minute party or forget to shop for a birthday.
You own a store!
But then I have to eat the cost. This is free.
Mary chuckled as she watched her sister rummage through the shelves of candles, cellophane-wrapped baskets, and other miscellaneous products her mother picked up at whatever dynamite sale she found.
Aha!
Holly popped up with a hideous gnome throw pillow in her hands.
We can dissect this puppy and use the innards.
Mom will be pissed.
Are you kidding me? She'll never miss it. Plus, who is she going to give this to?
It's fugly.
I agree, but still, sis, she will not care. Gotta save money where you can.
We still need to ask Mom. Holly pulled out her phone with a huff and dialed, holding a finger up when Mary tried to speak.
Hey, Mom. Yeah, can I have that ugly gnome pillow from the closet for an art project?
Mary couldn't make out what her mother said, but Holly shot her a wink.
Thanks, Mom. Love you.
Holly ended the call and slipped her phone into her back pocket.
She said yes.
What exactly did she say?
I don't care, honey.
Mary grinned.
All right.
Holly walked into the kitchen and pulled a pair of scissors from the junk drawer.
Care to do the honors?
Nah. I want complete deniability in case she changes her mind.
Fair enough.
Holly cut through the seam and reached inside, removing a fistful of white fluff.
Jackpot.
Mary held up the bottom of her plush penis.
Give it to me, baby.
Holly sat down next to Mary and handed her the fluff, while Mary slipped it inside. When it was filled up, she stitched the bottom closed and held it up for her sister's perusal.
What do you think?
Oh my God,
he's cute.
Holly took it from her, holding it up like a baby.
I want one, but I want mine bigger, something to cuddle with. Oh, can you make it look like an elf?
Mary burst out laughing, her mind already picturing it.
I can try.
Holly handed it back with a rueful laugh.
It will be the only D I've gotten in.
Ugh,
too long.
This is a weird conversation.
Why?
Because you're my baby sister?
I am almost 24, not a baby.
Mom had Nick when she was younger than me.
Do you think about that?
Mary asked. Didn't we just say a few minutes ago we wanted to avoid thinking about mom, sex, and procreation?
Not that.
I mean, do you think about having kids right now? Holly blinked at her.
Well, not now. Eventually, I'll have at least two. After I'm done with my adventures, at least.
Mary groaned.
You need to stop with that YouTube channel.
Hey, it isn't just YouTube now. I have over 200K followers on TikTok and another 70K on Instagram. Mary rubbed her temples. When her sister started her channel as the Adventure Elf, they thought it was funny. Holly had always been into skydiving, rock climbing, and other extreme sports. But when she added the elf costume, her first video went viral. Her following blew up, and she'd used her earnings from the channel to buy her shop, which was amazing. But they'd all been concerned about her doing something extreme for views.
You're nuts, and are going to end up in a body cast someday.
They are going to find your body broken at the bottom of a mountain in an elf suit.
And they'll say I died doing what I love.
Holly shot her a dirty look.
I'm insulted. You don't watch my videos. You're my sister. Where is the love and support?
Hey, I follow you on social media. I just hate thinking of you putting yourself in dangerous situations for views.
Listen,
You might like playing it safe with boring corporate types and being a sweet little Susie helper. But I am a risk taker. I am not afraid to jump in and get my feet wet. So stop projecting your hang-ups on me. What hang-ups? Oh, come on. Holly groaned. You are the queen of scaredy pants everywhere. I am not. I have had plenty of adventure. Being a serial monogamist isn't adventurous. You can't be alone. I've been alone for the last year. I bet you anything, you'll dive back into the dating pool and fall for the first jerk who smooth talks his way into your panties. You call me nuts, but you're the crazy one. You date the same guy repeatedly and expect a different result. How can you say that? You never met most of my boyfriends. Yeah, but I know the OG boyfriend and he sucks balls. Based on that and the way your relationships end, I think you need to change it up a bit. Date someone not on your radar. Or I can remain happily single and not date anyone. Mary grumbled. Solid plan. One which I have been following for several years. I just thought there might have been a little spark between you and Clark the foreman. Mary could feel the blood rush to her cheeks. When did you see a spark? Last night, when you two walked outside, alone, in the dark, under the glow of Christmas lights. Nothing is going on with Clark. Holly sat forward, cupping her chin in her hand as she studied her intently. Then why are you blushing? Because I have pale skin and it's warm in here? Uh-huh. You do know you're annoying, right? She sat back again with a smirk, spreading her arms over the back of the love seat and crossing her legs. That is a little sister job description. You have that down pat. Flatterer. Mary left her stuff on the couch and got up. I'm going to call Mom and see when they are getting back from the store so I can get lunch started. Oh, good. I'm starving. Who said I'm making you any? Rude. Mary chuckled and opened the fridge, rummaging through the drawers, but nothing sounded good. Mary, Holly said. She closed the fridge with a grunt. What? Butch has your penis. Mary's gaze flew to her parents' bloodhound, and sure enough, clenched in his massive jowls was her voodoo peen. Butch, drop it. She came around the kitchen island, and Butch scrambled down the hall toward the laundry room, his paws tearing across the floor for traction. Mary slid to a stop in the doorway, but the dog was already through the doggy door and outside. Crap! Mary opened the outside door and took off after him. The last thing she wanted was for her dad, or Clark, or, oh God, Jace, to find a stuffed penis floating around the property. Butch was having a ruckus of a time, and as she jumped at the dog and he slipped through her hands, she noticed her sister standing off to the side with her phone up. You better not be recording me. I would never. Mary didn't believe her for a second, but one problem at a time. She raced after Butch, wincing as her bare feet connected with something pokey, but she kept going. Almost. So close. Mary caught a hold of the head of the penis and slowed to a stop. She bent down eye level with the hound and in a deep voice growled, "Drop it." Butch opened his mouth and stepped back, his long muscular tail sawing through the air excitedly. No, I'm not throwing this for you, she grimaced as wetness coated her palm from the sopping yarn. Freaking drool monster. You're pretty spry for an old hound, you know that? Mary spun back towards the house and found not just her sister, but Clark standing at her side, watching something on her phone. Oh, please God, no. Holly! What are you showing him? Clark looked up from her sister's screen, an amused expression on his face. He only caught the tail end of the show, so I thought he'd like to see it from the beginning. Mary closed her eyes, imagining all the ways she could kill her sister and get away with it. But her parents were fond of the red-headed brat. Damn it.
I think I've seen enough, Clark said, obviously taking pity on her discomfort. She was grateful for it.
Where's your brother and Jace?
At the house. I needed some air and heard the commotion, so thought I'd come see what was going on.
Just me chasing a dog around, trying to retrieve my
Mary squeezed the object in her hand, so he couldn't see what it was.
Project.
Holly leaned over and used a stage whisper.
It's a voodoo doll of her friend's ex's penis.
As much as she loved her folks, Holly had to die.
Chapter 9. Clark covered his mouth with his hand, hiding his smile. He'd come around the side of the house to see Mary chasing the dog, and at first, he'd thought they'd been playing. Then he'd noticed the bare feet and desperate look on her face. Plus, Holly standing there recording the whole exchange was something a younger sibling would do only if it was blackmail gold. Mary looked ready to fly through the air and tackle her sister. Pine needles and leaves sticking out of the golden strands of her messy bun, and streaks of dirt lined her cheeks and forehead. She was an adorable mess. Mary took a step toward Holly, her fists clenching and unclenching.
Careful, Mare. There's a witness,
Holly cheerfully sang. Mary cast him a disgruntled look.
You gonna testify against me if I murder her?
Nah. Just don't get any blood on my trees. Mary's lips twitched, obviously fighting a smile, and his pulse kicked up a notch. His resolve to stay away from her was wavering, especially with their unfinished conversation taking up permanent residence in his head. He was almost positive she was going to ask him to get to know each other better, and it seemed like all of his very good reasons for not getting involved with her had twisted into arguments on why they'd be an excellent match. Which was insane in itself, since he'd taken the walk away from his place to type out another message to Naughty Girl 25. He had been ready to tap send when he'd seen the shenanigans in the side yard and stopped to check it out. The sisters were bickering again, and he took the moment to read through his message again. Naughty Girl 25. I know you're probably imagining the worst of me. But I swear I had an unexpected visit from my brother, and I couldn't leave him. I'd been anxious and excited about our date all day. I was prepared with pre-written jokes in case I got nervous. Please know I was just as disappointed about not meeting you as I hope you were about not seeing me. Can we try again? Woodsman 27. He pressed send before he lost his nerve and slipped it into his pocket. Two messages in less than a 24-hour period may seem desperate, but he could only imagine what she was thinking with him canceling on her last minute. He couldn't leave last night, not until he knew why his brother was there. They'd had plans for him to come the week of Christmas, so showing up almost 6 weeks early threw Clark into a tailspin of worry. Even though Sam was older, Clark often felt like the doting parent to a rebellious teen, instead of the younger of the two. Although they'd spent a few hours talking and catching up, his brother kept assuring him there was nothing wrong, that it didn't make sense to live a state away from his only family anymore. And would Clark mind if he crashed with them until Sam found a place? Clark said yes, but deep down he knew there was more to it. But Sam wouldn't tell him the truth until he was ready.
Where's your brother?
Holly broke in. He's watching a cartoon with Jace. Butch let out a howl and ran for the front of the house.
I think Mom and Dad are back, so I'm going to see if they need help.
Holly took off at a jog, with Mary glaring at her back. Clark grinned. Not gonna go after her? Get some revenge?
I'll wait until she least suspects it, and then pow!
She opened her hands to mimic an explosion, and Clark watched as the ball of pink in her hand elongated into a roughly 7-inch penis. Balls and all. I thought she was joking. Mary's face flushed, and she clutched the stuffed shaft to her chest.
It isn't what you think.
It's not?
I...
Mary visibly swallowed before blurting.
My friend was dating this jerk who said some unkind things, and she jokingly suggested I make a voodoo peen. And I thought, hey, that would be funny. And she needed a laugh, so I gave it a try. I finished it, left it alone on the couch for a few minutes, and then, boom, Butch was running off with it, and the last thing I need is my parents to find a plush penis chilling in the yard.
She was talking a mile a minute, And when she paused for breath, he asked, "Did it work?"
"Did what work?"
"Did she laugh?"
"I haven't shown her yet. I wanted to stick the pins in it before I sent her a picture. They're 2 inches long, with little red hearts at the end."
Clark laughed. "Remind me not to piss you off."
"As long as you don't chip at my friend's self-esteem, you won't get one of these."
He sobered. "Damn. Sounds like she dodged a bullet."
"She did. But in the moment, we don't think of it that way. We wonder what we did to deserve it."
Clark's stomach clenched as a shadow passed over Mary's face, and he reached out instinctively, cupping her chin in his hand. He stepped closer, staring into her shimmering depths of gold and green, and murmured, "I'm sorry if I was being insensitive. I only meant that men who treat women that way don't deserve tears. They need a swift kick in the ass. They don't deserve you," he thought. Mary briefly leaned into his touch, his lips tilting in a small smile.
"Or testicles?"
"I'd say both." His hand shifted, tracing along her jaw. "Any man you're with should worship you, not make you cry." Mary's eyes widened, her lips parting slightly.
"I don't need to be worshipped. I only ask for honesty and respect. Love."
The way she said that single word, with such reverence and longing, settled like a heavy stone in his chest. He knew what love for his child and his brother felt like. But to fall in love? To find someone who could be his partner, his person? He wasn't sure he was capable. He'd wanted to love Patrice simply for being the mother of his son. But in truth, once the initial lust wore off, she'd exhausted him, and he'd been relieved not to have to cater to her tailspin of emotions. Love had never factored into their relationship. Love meant letting his guard down, allowing someone to really know all of his insecurities and fears, the power to break him when they decided it was over. The benefits of romantic love didn't seem worth the cost. With Naughty Girl 25, maybe they could build something comforting, based on friendship and common goals. Mary was a romantic soul, and anything less than a love like her parents wouldn't satisfy her. He didn't think he was capable of it. After a moment's pause, he stepped away and held up his phone. "I better get back to Jason, Sam. You'll have to let me know how it goes with the—" Clark waved his hand toward the object she held. The intensity of the moment eased as she held it up, amusement lighting up her eyes to a brilliant shade of amber.
"Are you having trouble saying penis, Clark?"
"No, I am not having trouble saying penis."
"Uh-huh. I think you are."
His eyes narrowed. "Are you challenging me? 'Cause there is a long list of anatomy names only guys know."
"Oh yeah? Prove it."
Victoria called out Mary's name, and he shrugged. "Maybe another time."
"Perfect save."
She shot him a saucy grin as she took a step backwards toward the house.
"I better get inside before she starts counting to three. You have a good rest of your day. Ouch!"
Clark took 2 steps forward when she jerked her left foot up off the ground, slipping a hand under her elbow to steady her. "Hey, you okay?" Her heart-shaped face pinched with pain as she twisted her leg forward, trying to see the bottom of her foot.
"I stepped on something sharp."
"Hang on, I'll take a look. Lift your foot this way and a little higher for me." Mary swung her foot up behind her so the sole of her pad faced the sky. He saw the blood already smeared from the forefoot to the heel. A decent cut ran horizontally across the arch, and he grimaced. "You got a nasty slice across the bottom of your foot that looks deep. I'm going to pick you up, all right? Probably faster than you hopping along beside me."
"I can hobble, really."
"I'm sure you can, but I don't want you to lose your balance and make the gash worse." Clark bent over and lifted her into his arms before she could protest further. She wrapped her arms around his neck, a rush of air escaping her full lips. "Hang on tight to me and the little guy. Don't want to lose him again." Mary buried her face in his chest with a snort of laughter, and Clark's grip tightened on her. He strode around to the front of the house and up the steps, kicking the door gently with his boot. Holly opened the door, stepping back with a startled expression.
Mary!
Victoria rushed around the kitchen island, worry etched in the fine lines of her face.
What happened?
Mary lifted her head, a sheen of tears in her eyes. His heart stuttered at the pain etched in her pale features.
I cut the bottom of my foot on something in the yard. Clark insisted on helping me inside.
Clark hated the wobble in her voice and held her tighter as Victoria launched into mom mode, motioning him to follow her.
Bring her to the couch and I'll take a look.
Clark carried her over and set her gently onto the cushions. Victoria lifted Mary's foot, inspecting it with a click of her tongue.
Why in the heck would you go running around outside with no shoes on?
Victoria squinted, then barked.
Holly, grab my glasses from my purse and the first aid kit. I gotta clean this up. You might need stitches. Clark, can you hand me a towel from the corner cupboard?
Clark did as she asked, and when she wiped at the blood on Mary's foot, Mary winced and reached for Clark's hand, still clutching her little Johnson against her chest. He kept waiting for Victoria to ask about it, but she was laser-focused on her daughter's injury.
Oh, baby, I'm sorry. You sure did a number on this. I'm going to send your dad out to look and see what in the heck you cut yourself on. I don't want anyone else getting hurt.
Mary hissed when her mother probed at her wound and tightened her grasp on Clark's hand until his bones creaked. Easy, Tiger. You're going to break my writing hand, and your dad likes my reports legible.
Sorry,
she said, easing her hold.
I'm not good with pain.
When she tried to release him, he held tight. I'm only teasing, Mary. You kung fu grip me as hard as you need. Holly came back in with the kit and handed her mom her glasses. She slid them up over her nose and stuck her head down a few inches from Mary's foot.
I was right. We're going to need to take you to get a few stitches.
Mary groaned, her face going sheet white.
Really? I'm afraid so. I'm sorry, honey. I know you hate needles, but they're probably going to need to give you antibiotics. You don't want to get an infection.
Mary must have realized she was still holding his hand, because she glanced up at him, extracting her palm from his.
Sorry for crushing your fingers. I appreciate the ride, though.
It's not a problem. Sorry about the stitches. Just think about your favorite show and play it in your head when they poke you. He felt awkward and stiff, standing there with the three Winters women watching him. That's what I tell Jace to do. Mary gave him a small smile.
I'll remember that.
Now I'm giving her advice for my 7-year-old? What is wrong with me? I better get out of your hair. Do you need me to help you to the car?
Chris will be out in a minute. Thank you, Clark.
Clark nodded at Victoria and Holly. Before he turned away, he shot Mary a reassuring smile. I'll see you around.
Bye.
He headed for the door, feeling like an ass for hanging around like a concerned boyfriend. His arms still hummed from the warmth and weight of her there, and he wished he could just turn off these conflicting emotions. Before he closed the front door behind him, he heard Victoria sputter,
Mary Elizabeth Winters, is that a penis?
Clark laughed the whole walk home. There was never a dull moment with the Winters family. He liked all of them, although Nick and Noelle he didn't know as well. But they seemed nice. Nick invited Clark to the bar with him once, but it was when he'd first moved to town, and he hadn't found a reliable babysitter yet. He'd thought about inviting Nick to get a beer now that he'd settled in. But Clark thought it would be weird to cold call him. Why did making new friends seem like dating? When he stepped through the door, Sam and Jace were sitting on the couch, credits rolling on the show they'd just finished. His brother's sun-kissed brown hair was still mushed from sleep.
Hey, what took you so long? Sam asked.
Clark shrugged out of his jacket and hung it up. Mary hurt herself and I helped her inside the house.
Ah, the blonde from last night? I hadn't seen her since she was a kid. She grew up nice.
Clark's jaw clenched at the way his brother drew out the I in nice. She's not available. Sam snapped his fingers.
The sexy ones are always taken.
What's sexy?
Jace piped in. Don't worry about it, Clark said, waving his hand. Why don't you go grab us some fruit snacks and I'll make us lunch?
Yes!
Jace jumped up from the couch and raced into the kitchen. When he was out of earshot, Clark shot his older brother a dark look. You gotta watch what you say around him. He hears everything.
Sorry. Wasn't trying to expand his vocabulary. Just used to adult talk.
Just be aware. He knows all the swear words, and if he hears it, he'll charge you for them. The price for each word is on the side of the swear jar. Sam picked up the jar on the side table, reading the chalkboard label.
$1 for an F-bomb? Seems a little steep.
Jace came back hollering.
Catch, Uncle Sam!
He tossed the fruit snack pouch through the air, and Sam dived dramatically, cradling the package in two hands and falling to the ground.
Touchdown!
Clark shook his head as his son handed Clark a blue packet, running for Sam and high-fiving him.
Hey, Dad. Uncle Sam said he'd take me for a ride on his motorcycle if it's all right with you. Can I go?
Clark's smile dissolved, and he shot his brother a narrow look. Not today, buddy. Why don't you go listen to an audiobook while I talk to Uncle Sam?
Okay.
Jace worried his bottom lip, then turned to Sam.
I'll see you, Uncle Sam.
All right, my dude. Have fun. Sam wrapped Jace up in a bear hug.
What audiobook you listening to?
A Goosebumps book.
Awesome. I love scary movies. I'll have to introduce you to some of my favorites.
Sam paused when Clark cleared his throat and added,
when you're a little older. We can stream a Goosebump movie tonight if you want,
Jace offered.
I'm down. I'm down.
Jace walked past Clark, paused, and ran back to hug him.
Don't be mad at Uncle Sam, Dad. Please.
Clark ran his hand over his son's head. I'm not, buddy. I promise. Jace kissed his leg and took off down the hallway. Clark didn't say anything until he heard the door close. Clark crossed his arms over his chest and scowled at his brother.
I thought you weren't mad.
I'm irritated.
Ah, subtle difference.
He's 7. Too young to be on the back of that bike of yours. Sam stood up with his hands in the air.
I don't mean to overstep, but you were about his age when I took you for a ride on it.
That's because we had parents who didn't give a shit if we crashed and burned.
Damn, you don't trust me with my nephew?
Lines formed around Sam's mouth, the hurt on his face deepening his sun-weathered skin. Clark crossed to his brother and gripped the taller man's shoulder.
I trust you. But I've seen the way other drivers are on the roads out here. They don't look. All it takes is one of those idiots to cross the line on a curve. I never want to get that call about Jace or you.
Sam's crestfallen expression dissolved into a wide grin, and he pulled Clark into a hard, back-slapping hug.
I appreciate you caring, brother. You're the only one who does.
The edge of sadness in that statement got Clark thinking about Sam's life. 35, never married, nobody to come home to. Clark knew he'd been wanting to start his own tattoo parlor. But other than that, he lived a solitary existence.
I'm glad you're here, Sam.
Sam pulled away, all traces of melancholy gone.
So you're still okay with me crashing here?
You can stay here as long as you want, brother. My home will always be your home.
Thanks.
Clark headed into the kitchen. I'm going to make lunch. You want in?
I never turn down food.
Sam sat at the kitchen table and leaned back in the chair, stretching his legs out.
So back to the girl. How big's her boyfriend? Could I take him?
Mary? Sam nodded. She doesn't have a boyfriend. At least I don't think she does.
But you said she was unavailable.
She's not really your type, is she?
That's never stopped me.
Clark snorted. I believe it, but she's also my boss's daughter. I don't need you coming in here, screwing your way through all the local women until you piss everyone off, and there's a line of angry husbands and fathers ready to run me out of town.
This is not the 1950s.
If a woman wants to roll around in the sheets with me, who am I to tell her no? Just make sure none of those women have the last name Winters. And that you don't bring any of them back to my guest sheets.
I wouldn't bring a one-night stand back with a kid here. You think I'm a complete asshole?
Clark pulled the sandwich fixins out of the fridge with a sigh.
No, I don't.
I just want to be clear.
You're wound awfully tight. I think you need to get laid more than I do.
Clark didn't respond, preferring not to discuss the topic when his son could come walking out any time. You still haven't told me the real reason you're back here. Not that I don't want you here. But I know it's more than you missing us.
It's not even worth talking about. I'm just happy to be back in the fold. Maybe with me around, we can get you out and get a life.
I have a life.
You have a purpose, but you aren't living. Look at me,
a wandering artist with dozens of broken hearts trailing behind him. A lonely soul, just searching for the one woman to complete him.
You should have been an actor. You got the whole melodramatic angle down, Clark cut in.
Sam shrugged, a sheepish grin on his lips.
Maybe. But seriously, how about next weekend we find a sitter for Jace and hit the bar?
A couple beers, maybe meet some women.
What do you say? Want to be my wingman?
It had been a long time since Clark had been out simply to have fun, mingle with other adults. And if Naughty Girl 25 ever messaged him back, he could plan their meetup for the same night. Once his brother found a woman to go home with, he'd ditch Clark without a backwards glance. Just call me Goose, Maverick.
Chapter 10. Mary sat on one side of the booth in Lord of the Fries Diner, listening to Ryan Welsh bitch about vendors for the festival. The punny restaurant had been a staple in the town since the 80s, the walls decorated in artwork related to the classic book, The Lord of the Flies. The menu had a cartoon French fry on the front, wearing a top hat, tailcoat, and a monocle over his left eye. As cheesy as the decor was, the food was outstanding. It was a little after 10 in the morning on Wednesday, and she'd taken the day off to catch up with her friend from college who was passing through. Unfortunately, she'd called from her hotel room in Boise with a horrible case of food poisoning and canceled. Since the day was already hers, she'd popped a couple Advil to dull the pain of her stitches and decided to do a little Christmas preparation shopping. All that had been delayed when she'd agreed to meet Ryan to talk about his concerns, but the conversation was putting a damper on her day. That was unfair. She liked Ryan. He was the only boyfriend she didn't regret, because he hadn't been awful. He'd been very sweet, actually. They'd become friends freshman year of high school after meeting in home economics class and dated a couple months, until he'd come out as gay. They'd remained friends up until they graduated and went off to college. It surprised Mary he'd come back to Mistletoe, as he'd always complained about the cold. But like hers, his family was tight-knit and amazing. As part of the festival committee, he'd offered to handle vendors, but he'd called her 3 times since Sunday, and when he'd found out she wasn't working, asked her to meet him here to chat. Only it had turned into more of a rant than a friendly conversation. Mrs. Carlson doesn't want her craft booth next to the bookstore's booth because they display nasty books. He said the last with a high-pitched falsetto, followed by a scoff. I want to tell her she doesn't have to look if she'd be offended by shirtless men, but dear God, she could probably learn a thing or two from those books, like some relaxation techniques, because the woman is wound tighter than a top and she's about to blow. Mary picked up her coffee, cradling it between her fingers as she took in Ryan's perfectly sculpted brows, shooting up and down with every word. When Ryan got excited,
Every facial feature got into the action, including his vibrant blue eyes, and she usually loved watching him talk. Today, though, she just wanted to eat, shop, and not think about her lengthy to-do list and the emotional whirlpool that had become her brain. Not referee adults with ridiculous demands. So move her to another spot. What's the issue?
The issue is I've organized the booths according to their category. Books, crafts, and other goods are in one section, food and beverage in another, and half the vendors have a beef with someone else. I swear, I never knew how dramatic people could be over the littlest thing. Like who bought the last flat of canning jars. This isn't Little House on the freaking Prairie. If you want a jar of jam, buy it. You don't have to boil it yourself, Nellie.
Mary bit back a laugh. It wouldn't be productive to tease Ryan that all of the dramatic canning enthusiasts could be matching his energy. His exuberance was one of the reasons she'd connected with Ryan in the first place. They were both dramatic individuals, but right now, Ryan had taken it to an SNL level. Maybe he needed to switch to decaf. Why don't you email me your layout and a list of the people, marking who they don't get along with? A second set of eyes on it couldn't hurt. And if Mrs. Carlson calls again, give her my number and I'll handle her. Ryan reached across the table and took her hand in both of his.
Thank you, Mary. I did the vendors last year and it wasn't this bad. But we have 15 more this year. It's like squishing a bunch